has grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to talk with you today about faith. Let's begin by reading from Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Jesus says, faith has the power to move mountains, to work miracles, to do healings. And in the Christian church, we even say that salvation comes to us by faith. So faith is a very powerful thing. To it we attribute not only miracles and healings and salvation, but even joy and peace. And so in the Christian church, we talk about faith all the time. Sundays and all through the week, we're always talking about faith. But today what I'd like to talk with you about is, what kind of faith does God want me to have? And how do I know when I have a right faith? And how can I make my faith stronger? So let's talk about that today and see what God has to teach us about faith from the Scriptures. And first of all, I think it's important for us to understand that while the Christian church talks about faith all the time, so also does the world. You know, the world talks a lot about faith, but what we need to do is to distinguish between the faith that the world's talking about and the faith that we're talking about, for there are two very different kinds of faith. Let me give you a few moments then about the world's faith. What are some of the ways that the world talks about faith? For one, they talk about faith in magic. You see this in movies all the time, don't you? Almost every Disney children's movie is filled with chock full of spells and magic spells and supernatural powers, which are usually accredited to the faith of the person, right? "When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are." I'm not starting it right. "Anything your heart desires will come to you." And not only children's movies, but you have all kinds of adult movies these days about vampires and wizards and warlocks, which, again, faith is touted as the key factor in a person's power. Just like Yoda lifted the X-Wing fighter out of the swamp, supposedly, by faith, because he believed. And so the world talks about faith in a magical sense. But this is not what God talks about when he talks about biblical faith. In fact, God says of the world's faith in magic, he says, "There shall not be found among you," Deuteronomy 18, "anyone who practices divination, a soothsayer or an augur, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord." So, that's one way the world talks about faith. Another way is, I think they say, have faith in yourself. Have faith in you. Believe in who you are. Don't you hear, how many songs on the radio do you hear that's trying to get you to find the hero in you? Believe in yourself. How many movies, how many talk shows believe in you? And while some self-confidence is a good thing, making your own strong right arm your trust is, again, unbiblical. It's not the right kind of faith. For God says in Jeremiah 17, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." Another way I see that the world talks about faith is faith is just sort of positive thinking. Remember Stuart Smalley, I think, in the Saturday Night Live? I just heard about this. You know, I'm good enough, and I'm smart enough, and I'm strong enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. You know, making positive affirmations, visualizations, and if you believe it enough, it'll come to pass. You might hear someone say, Susie, I know you're having a hard time right now, but just have faith. Things will get better. Somehow the universe will make things work out for your good. Believe. But while some positive thinking is not altogether wrong, this is not what the Bible calls faith. One more. There I see the world talk about faith in this way. They say, it's my faith tradition. And you know what? This kind of thing just makes me want to vomit. Okay. I ran into this in clinical pastoral education, training to be a pastor, a chaplain in the hospital under a liberal teacher. And he was saying, you can't, Greg, go to people and say, this is the truth, believe in Jesus and be saved. You have to say, according to my faith tradition, this is the way I see it. And you could say, according to the Muslim faith tradition, the Jewish faith tradition, the Hindu faith tradition, the Christian faith tradition, this is my perspective. But you know what? Faith is not a tradition. My Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I have a knowledge of the truth. It's not just a tradition as if it's one viable option in the midst of many. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus, it declares in John chapter 17. But nevertheless, so the world speaks of faith. So, whether it's a faith in magic or a faith in yourself, or a faith that things will just get better, or a faith tradition, it's obvious the world knows nothing of biblical faith, of true Christian faith. So we don't want to look to the world to teach us about these things. And we need to be careful then to distinguish between the faith of the world that they're talking about and the faith that God wants you to have. For God says of the things of the world, magic can't save you, positive thinking can't save you, you can't save you, tradition can't save you, but only I, the true God, can save you. And he says of the world, they have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. So, now, that's the world. What kind of faith does God want me to have? And how do I know when I have a right faith? Well, here's the answer, plain and simple. You have a right faith. And this is the faith God wants you to have when you have faith in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, it doesn't matter how much you believe in something if you're believing in something that's false. But the important thing is the object of your faith, what you're believing in or who you are believing in. Let me give you an example, okay? Exhibit A, the chair pastor sits in. Exhibit B, our very wobbly three, almost falling over even as I said it there, tripod table there. Now, if I want to sit down and have faith in this chair that it will support me, let's see if the object of my faith, the chair I'm putting my faith in, has the ability to support me. Ready? That was beautiful. The chair supported me. Now let's try it. If I put all my faith in a very, very strong, unswerving, perfect faith in this chair, this table to support me. Ready? Sorry, we'll have to buy a new one. See, it's not the strength of your faith that saves you, but what you're putting your faith in, the object of your faith that saves you. That's why you can have the strongest faith in the world, but if it's in the wrong place, in some other religion or yourself or in magic, it will fall and break underneath your weight. It cannot support, it cannot save. But if you have faith in the right thing, like God, who was our rock and a shield and a sure defense in Jesus Christ, the object of your faith, being God, will support you. So let's take a look at an example of that kind of faith in the Bible. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15, Verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not fair to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Now there's an example of great faith. Jesus says, "Great is your faith." Why? Why was her faith touted as great by our Lord? Well, it was because she had faith in the right place, in Jesus as the Savior. Think about it. Jesus even tested her here, didn't he? He said some kind of strange things. First, he didn't answer her a word. Second, he said he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was testing her. But what did she do? She had great faith, namely relentless, never say die, never back off, belief in Jesus Christ and his character. She came and said, "Lord, help me." You notice she didn't say, "When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are." She didn't have faith in positive affirmations, I'll just visualize my daughter healed and that will save her. She did not just have hope of a better outcome. She didn't even have faith in faith, as if faith has power to heal. She didn't even have faith in healing, as if healing has power. But she had faith in Jesus Christ. If you understand this, say Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
She had faith in the right place, and therefore Jesus said to this woman, "Great is your faith." Great. Would you like Jesus to say that of you? Say, Nancy, Bill, Greg, Alice, Tim, "Great is your faith." Then we need to have the same kind of faith she did, namely, in the right place, with the right object, Jesus Christ, and a relentless, never say die, never back off, confident, persistent faith in Jesus and his character. She said, basically, "Jesus, you are the Savior. You are the Lord. I know you have the power to do this. I know you have the character to do this. I know you have the mercy to do this. Do this. Do it for me." And he said, "Great is your faith," and her daughter was healed instantly. So, is this the kind of faith that you have? Where is your faith in today? And what are you placing it? Place it in Jesus and in God the Father. For Jesus himself tells us this in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Plain and simple. So that's where our faith ought to be, in Jesus. But now, what kind of faith in Jesus is powerful? Answer, it's not just a historical faith in Jesus. Namely to say, "Jesus, I believe he existed, I believe he was a real person, or even I believe he was the Son of God, and that he died for the sins of the world. For even the demons believe these things and shudder." But what is real faith? Real faith is trust in Jesus and in God. This the demons do not have. To believe that he is the faithful and true God, that he died not just for the sins of the world, but he died for my sins. And you say, "I put my trust in you because you're the Savior. You have the character and you have the power, and you've given me your word that you'll do it, and I trust in you to do this for me." Do you do that? Let's do that right now. Do you put your trust in Jesus right now that he has died to save you personally and not just for the sins of the world? Praise God. Because what are you really saying? When you say that you believe in or trust in Jesus, what you're really saying is, God, I believe you have the character to keep your word to me. That you're powerful, that you're merciful, that you're compassionate, and that you are for me. This I know, that God is for me, said the psalmist. And really, it's the most flattering and complimentary thing you could say to God, right? Let me give you a human example of that. When I was in high school, Spanish class, Mrs. Sanford, still remember this, she used to give pencils to us to borrow if we didn't have one for the assignment after class. But she'd always take collateral because she didn't get her pencils back. And there was one kid, Bill, his name was Guillermo in Spanish, and she said, Mrs. Sanford said, Guillermo, what will you give me for your pencil, for the pencil? And he gave her his backpack, so she got the collateral, got the backpack, he got the pencil. Then it came up to me, and she said, Señor Lucier, what will you give me to get a pencil so that I know I get my pencil back? I thought about it for a minute, and I said, Mrs. Sanford, I give you my word. And she said, Señor Lucier, I give it to you for that. And then at this point, Guillermo, overhearing this, had a huge outburst. He's like, what? You're going to give it to him for his word? I give you my backpack? I'll give you my word. She says, no, Guillermo, I not take your word. I give you for your word. I'm not sure I get my pencil back, but I give it to Monsignor Lucier. I believe if he gives me his word, I will get my pencil back. And she did. I made sure of it. Because my honor was at stake, right? But you know what? That was the most complimentary and flattering thing she could ever say to me, that she trusted in my character, that she trusted in my word, that if I said I'll do it, I will do it. And that's the same way it is with faith. It's a trust in God that he is the God of character. His name in Revelation 19 is faithful and true. And if he says he's going to do something for you, he's going to do it. He has the power to do it. He has the character to do it. He has the mercy and the compassion to do it. And he always keeps his word. He'll never break it. And that's where you place your trust, in God and in his word. Lean on him. As we said in the children's sermon, he will catch you. Next, this faith justifies you before God. That's a beautiful thing. Look at Abraham with me, if you will. Example of his justification. Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, and God said to him in a vision, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. The word, remember, says, this man shall not be your heir. Your own son shall be your heir. And he brought Abraham outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then the Lord said to Abram, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Abraham, friends, had an impossible situation. I'm old. My wife, she's still beautiful, but she's way past childbearing years. It's impossible, but he didn't look to that. He said, God, you said you can do it. You promised you will do it. I take you at your word, even if it seems impossible, and I believe that you are trustworthy to accomplish the words you've given me. And the scripture declares, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, because he trusted in God's character and word to keep it. And Paul says of us, but these words to Abraham, Romans 4, verse 23, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone. It'll be reckoned to us also who believe in him. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So let me ask you a question. You need to respond. Do you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation?
Yes.
Then your faith, I declare, is well-founded. It's not that your faith saves you because faith is powerful. It's because the object of your faith, God, is able to uphold and justify all who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has promised you that if you believe in him, you've passed out of judgment into life. Praise be to God. So now, what does this faith in Jesus look like? What's God want it to look like? Answer, God wants your faith to be great. He wants it to be strong. Now, can God say that of your faith today? Well, we all have different answers for that, perhaps. Can you be saved by a weak faith? If your faith is weak, but it's in Jesus Christ, can you be saved? Yeah, let's say I got this chair here. The object of my faith is the chair. Let's say I have a weak faith. I sit down gingerly. Watch this. Okay. I sat down in the chair gingerly. I believed in the chair, but I was kind of a little weak in my faith. Did the chair support me?
Yes.
Yeah, the chair upheld me. If you have a weak faith, but it's in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But let's say, what does God want for you? He wants you a strong and a bold faith with great courage, risking all on God's character, and sit down like this. I wasn't going to fall over, by the way. All right? God wants you to sit strongly on, lean on him, trust in his word, and make it strong, and have your faith strong. That's what he wants. And how do you get that? How do you make your faith strong? Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The word here says this. So faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ, or the word of Christ. How do you make your faith strong? By feeding it the word. You can't make your faith strong, but you can put fuel on the fire and put wood on the fire and bring it into a roaring flame by just putting wood on it. Put the word of God into your life, and faith grows. For faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the word of Christ. So you're all here on Sunday. That's cool. Just like my cell phone. I plug it in, right? I'm supposed to plug it in every night. And what happens when you plug it in? It charges. And right now it's at 93%. That's a rare thing for me. Because it had a long time in the Word, if you will, and now its faith is strong. Beth is almost always at 95 or 100%. She keeps hers plugged in all the time. Me? I forget for days, right? You know, what does God want my faith to sound like? He wants it to sound like this. Beautiful, right? But what happens is that if you go, let's say you're here on Sunday, but you don't come on Wednesdays. You know, I understand sometimes you can't make it on Wednesdays. Or adult Bible studies. Or let's say just in your home life, if you can't make it on those days. You're here on Sunday, but you don't study the word the rest of the week. You don't have it in your life. You don't think about it. This is, my cell phone gets down to 12% and it starts sounding like this. All right. Which is your faith today? The harp? Or is it on, you know, nuclear meltdown alarm? The difference is in plugging it in, to putting the word of God into your heart and mind and life and trusting in it. Practicing leaning back like Gianna did so beautifully into my arms in the children's sermon. So let's do that right now. Let's give your faith some recharging and plugging in. And we'll be finishing up with these things. Jesus says, in John 19, it says, "Then I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is faithful, called faithful and true." Do you believe he's faithful and true? Say yes. And Jesus says of his word, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and return not thither, but water the earth, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Do you trust God's word to accomplish it?
Yes.
His promises, Joshua, "I will not fail you. I will not forsake you." Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isaiah 46, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, I'm with you always, to the close of the age. He died for our sins. Peter says, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And David says of his faith in Psalm 56, my enemies will be turned back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word alone I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust without a fear. What can man do to me? So friends, even if the fig tree doesn't blossom, even if there are no fruit in the vines for you, even if the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food and the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet. He makes me tread upon my high places. And Peter says, remember this, as the outcome of your faith, you obtain the salvation of your souls. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and confess our faith, if you will, in the words of the Nicene Creed. Page 8. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again from the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You may be seated.